the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Elaine Burke and Joe Shea are with us for the last word in TV and streaming. But we are going to talk about Jessie Buckley, who is now a bona fide Hollywood star and I think is strongly fancied to win an Oscar for her performance in Hamlet, given that she won the Golden Globe for Best Actress. But she was a TV star to begin with. Although the last thing, I'm just looking at her bio, that she did appear in was Fargo back in 2020 before she moved, it seems, almost full time to movies and a bit of stage work again as well. But let's hear a little bit of her in Fargo season 4 as nurse Oretta Mayflower.
And the pharmacist has noticed some discrepancies in medicines requested and medicines removed over the last few requests made by you. In summation, after the latest unpleasantness, I don't see how we can keep you on staff. I'm saying you're fired.
I see how it is.
Yes. So, if you could clear out your locker.
Cover up. An incompetence of doctors. A few lost souls and someone's got to pay the piper, so old Orietta's made the goat. Well, I am no goat, Mr. Sneed. Orietta Mayflower, she is no goat.
Now, nurse,
call the police. You're so concerned about malfeasance, about medicines removed without dotted I's. Heck, pick up the phone, tell them to send the paddy wagon. Take this woman away in silver bracelets. Or what about call the newsboys?
No,
well, this
on.
Is America, sir. Last time I checked, not Soviet Russia, where a man gets rationed a quarter potato and has no rights under the law. But here's you sitting like judge and executioner, tossing old Oriette on the bone pile, and for what? The inability to read the handwriting of what appears to be an epileptic?
Fargo season 4, which was, if I remember rightly, a brilliant series, Elaine.
I still haven't watched that one.
What?
I know. And I know you and Joe have both told me I need to
sorry,
catch up.
Sorry, Elaine, I'm going to move to Joe so you can remind us how brilliant a series that was.
That's probably my favourite Fargo season, and it's kind of underrated as well, but I remember watching it and seeing this young actress who I'd never seen before playing this absolutely deranged nurse, and it's an incredible performance, and I was really impressed by her. So I looked her up, Jessie Buckley, and then it turns out I found she was from Kerry, which kind of blew my mind, because I wasn't really aware of her before. I recognised the face and I kind of knew she was talented young actress. I just assumed she was American. The accent was incredible. She's doing a 1930s kind of Midwest accent and she's absolutely perfect. She's brilliant in Fargo, and I think anybody who saw her in that knew she was destined for great things.
Of course, the year previous to that, let's hear her in Chernobyl.
Myself.
I'm here.
Have you been here this whole time? 30 minutes, I said.
Well, where have you been? When he's in pain, when a sore stick to his gown, when he soils himself 5 times a night, I've been looking after him. Where have you been?
I've been in the north and west wing, where there are dozens of patients from Chernobyl exactly like him. It isn't safe for you.
He's my husband.
Not anymore. He's something else now, do you understand? He's dangerous to you.
He's burned.
Go home. Please.
It won't take much longer. I don't want him to die, though.
Stay on the other side of the plastic, or I'll have you removed by security.
That's Jessie Buckley as Ludmilla in Chernobyl from 2019, which was, I think, you saw that, didn't you, Elaine?
Yes, I did see that.
That is, again,
and that was
one
before
of the most...
Fargo, and I knew who Jessie Buckley was then because of that. So
that was terrific television as well. Still well worth watching. I think it's available on Sky still.
Yes, still available on Sky. And if you have a Now subscription, you should be able to get it as well. And she was so strong in it. That's the thing, the same as what Joe said. You notice her and stuff, and then you look her up, and then you're delighted to discover she's Irish because she has such a presence on screen. And in that show Chernobyl, she is kind of the heart of the story because she's given the human side of the story. Her husband has been affected by the explosion at Chernobyl, and it's a very personal story that they follow with her, as opposed to Jared Harris and Stellan Skarsgård, who are kind of like the men in charge storyline. And she really does command the screen when she's on it, you do pay attention to her. So it's really no surprise that she's now risen to the heights that she has risen to.
And another listener says, don't forget her in War and Peace in 2016. She was in that for 6 episodes. And Taboo with Tom Hardy in 2017. And she was 7 episodes as Lorna Bow.
And she was in The Scarecrow's Wedding over Christmas as a voice of Betty O'Barley. So
as you recommended
to us. She's very
talented. But all from the back of, and it's an interesting though, Jo, as well, that she has been quite outspoken recently as to her experiences as a teenager in the TV reality show I'd Do Anything.
Yeah, and I think she was a runner-up in that, or did really well in that as well.
Yes.
And she's had an unusual path to where she has ended up. You know, being talked as a very strong contender for an Oscar now. She seems to have a lot of intelligence about her. She's also somebody we don't know a lot about her private life as well. She was talking about her husband was over at the Globes with her and was enjoying the free cocktails and canapés. But she's a fascinating person, I think, and somebody who it looks like is going to be a generational top-class A-lister star, another great one for Ireland.
Well, listener says, what about her in the movie Wild Rose, says Etna, but we're sort of focusing on TV and streaming. Another listener says she was excellent in Dirty Little Letters along with Olivia Colman, which was a movie, I think, as well. Okay, let's talk about other things. Elaine, I think definitely our team must be delighted that they made the decision to bring the Traitors franchise to Ireland, because when it comes to television last year, that was the new thing, which I suppose made the year for RT.
An absolute breakout hit. So we've got the list of the top shows, the top broadcasts of the past year, and it is in the top 25 as a brand new show. That is a huge accomplishment, because the only things in entertainment really, because it's really dominated by sport, because that is the live broadcast meat and potatoes really. But you have, the number one is always going to be the toy show, and then you have loads of sport, and then you have things that are kind of sitters. You've got I'm a Celebrity, Dancing with the Stars, Room to Improve. They always kind of make an appearance on this list. So a brand new show, brand new production to have gotten that placement is incredible. They're in the top 10 as well. They're in 7th position, is it? Yeah, 7th position in the top 10. And they're now going to be airing it on the BBC as well. As soon as, I believe, the current series of the UK Traitors ends, the Irish Traitors is going to be available for people to watch over there, because it was really, really popular. And the thing about the Traitors is people get really caught up in the fandom, and they do like to watch the seasons from different territories as well. They want to get their traitor fixed throughout the year if they can. And yeah, we can definitely expect a season 2 of Traitors. We can probably expect some twists, because that seems to be the nature of the format, is they add these twists to the tale as well. And you can see how people have then kind of used it as a launch pad for their own success as well. Paddy Maloney currently lighting up the dance floor and Dancing with the Stars.
And he survived last night.
He did. Yeah, he did a really great dance to the Godfather theme song. I have to say, he was much improved.
Okay, and who went out?
Michael Fry, very sadly, yes.
Yeah.
I think it was really tough, and
it was a bit of a shock that he went out as well. I thought he had the personality and the kind of skills and the kind of presence to go on for a couple more episodes. I was surprised to see him go.
Okay. Tell us, Jo, a little bit about the continued fall in the amount of TV license revenue RT is getting, but the possibility, and this I think has been floated before, that the revenue commissioners might be given the job of collecting the money.
Yeah, this is really interesting, because the TV license pot overall fell by 29 million to 123 million last year. And it's a serious problem for RTE. And the people who are not paying their TV licences are obviously breaking the law at this stage, you know. But it did, of course, the big fall in numbers came after the whole Ryan Tubridy thing. And it's just continued to kind of go down after that. We know the government has put together this, you know, this famously 750 million package. Now, RT have been out again this week making the point that that's not 75 million, you know, in a big skip of cash that they drive up to the government leaves outside RT. It's 225 million, 240 million, and then 260 million over 3 years. And it includes the TV license revenue plus additional exchequer and public funding.
Yeah, so they make up the shortfall.
If
the money isn't collected from the license fee, they top it up effectively to give that guaranteed amount.
And they have to, because RTÉ otherwise is in deep trouble, even though they are in this massive, like, there's people leaving RTÉ at a rate of knots now at this stage.
Sorry, Joe, sorry, I have to say it's not at a rate of knots. If you compare it to what will
RTÉ.
Happen... yeah, would you compare that to what happens in the rest of the media and what happens into the private sector? I mean, 40 people in the first year of the cutbacks out of about 1,800. And I'm not looking for people to lose their jobs, but actually, let's just be accurate in how we actually... Yes. And actually, sorry, the other thing is... I did laugh when you described there the Ryan Tubridy thing. We've gone from the Ryan Tubridy scandal to the Ryan Tubridy controversy to now it's just a thing, is it?
Yeah. Well, maybe we could call it the emergency, like we called World War II, the Ryan Tubridy emergency, or the Troubles.
The Troubles.
Yeah, we could call it that. Yeah. You're right. I mean, but for RTÉ, losing 40 people, traditionally people haven't been that anxious to leave RTÉ before the full, they do their full time and the pension kicks in and all that kind of stuff. It has been traditionally a place where people go and they don't leave. So,
well, actually, there's a listener, sorry, I'm going to go back to Elaine on this. This listener say, is Ryan Tubridy to blame for all the dodgy boxes being used too? Which is a good point. The other people who won't actually pay their TV licence or say they don't have a TV set and yet they have a dodgy box that they're streaming onto their projector or onto their laptop or whatever.
This is particularly interesting because I do think that the Ryan Tubridy thing does actually distract from, there's probably a confluence of things happening that are impacting TV licence revenue. We are also seeing internationally growing distrust in mainstream media. That is something that has been well researched and proven. We are also seeing people who genuinely are now having households that don't have televisions, that they may operate everything through a different type of screen. And the TV license, while it does try to account for that, maybe people are less understanding of paying a TV license when that is not what they're accessing, that they're not accessing even things that are produced via the TV license, and they feel then that they are not obliged to contribute to it. So I actually think there are more factors at play here than the scandals that have hit RTÉ.
Listener says, surely revenue should collect the TV licence. Is it 25% of people who don't pay? Why should my taxes top up RTÉ for missing licence money when so many others refuse to pay? Another one says, I haven't paid a TV licence in 3.5 years. Just tell them, puss, that you no longer have a TV and they will leave you alone, says his sister. Really? Okay. Another one. I pay over €2,000 for Sky each year. What did you pay?
€2,000?
No.
You need to call them, threaten to leave, and they'll give you a deal. Like, everybody knows
they
that, right?
No, this is Nick in Cork. I don't like having to pay for the pleasure of watching my TV. Why doesn't Sky be made to subsidise that fee, says listener. Oh, there's another listener who suggests, Joe, rather than suggesting it's the Troubles, we said in relation to Tubridy, how about the Troubles?
Very good. Very good. We have to call for that from now on. Very succinct.
Okay. Actually, let's go back to the Golden Globes. Sorry, I should have gone at it earlier, but the things that won. And adolescence really has caught the imagination in America as well, hasn't it, Jesse? Elaine, what am I saying?
I'm loving confused with Jesse Buckley. I'll take that any day of the week. But yeah, absolutely. And as predicted, it swept every category that was nominated in. It got all 4 awards that it was up for. So Best Miniseries, Best Actor for Stephen Graham, Best Supporting for Owen Cooper, Best Supporting for Aaron Doherty. Fully deserved. It really was an absolute triumph of television. And I think that in general, the Golden Globes were quite predictable. Like, I know Joe has been pointing out that things that maybe were expected to do well, like White Lotus and Severance, didn't do well. But when you look at what they were up against in their category, Severance was up against The Pit, which is another massive sensation. And I know we might have to talk more about how we're not going to see that anytime soon. And Rhea Seehorn for Pluribus, she was up against Britt Lehrer from Severance and other actors and actresses in her category. And Pluribus has been a kind of like a late stage sensation. So maybe recency bias means that she was going to scoop that one. So I do think it was kind of a predictable Globes.
Okay, anything else that jumped out at you in it, Joe?
Well, the fact that The Pit, I mean, I'm still a huge ER fan, and a while ago I watched the whole thing all over again. I love Noah Wiley. I really want to see The Pit. I want to see it legally as well. I know there are people who kind of in Ireland who have seen The Pit already and probably shouldn't have, but they say that HBO Max will, we were told just before Christmas, HBO Max will launch in the UK and Ireland in March. Great. We've all get a chance to see The Pit. unfortunately now it's looking increasingly unlikely, or it's looking very troubled, so to speak, because just we found out today that Warner Discovery are being sued by Paramount over the Netflix takeover, which sounds like, why should I be interested in this? Well, why you should be, it's a huge, huge media story. It's massive, and it involves Donald Trump and billionaires and aggressive, you know, takeovers and all this kind of stuff. But it also could mean that the plans that they had for HBO Max and other plans that they had, including for Discovery, including for TNT and live sport coverage, all of that could go on hold while the US courts try and sort out this huge mess.
Mm. Elaine, the fall of Hugh Edwards, the BBC TV presenter, was really sort of icky and distasteful. It was a horrible thing. Is it suitable for a TV drama to be coming very, very soon with Martin Clunes from Men Behaving Badly originally playing the role of Hugh Edwards?
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of attention at the moment because pictures have been released of Martin Clunes as Hugh Edwards, and it's one of those efforts in transforming him to look as much like the character he's portraying as possible, and it is quite an achievement there as well. There are also questions being raised on, is this very soon after the fact? And then there's this idea then of, you have these horrible situations arise that people are involved in these scandals, and you know there are victims at the end of this, at the end of the day, and then you exploit that for entertainment gain. It is definitely a muddy area that gives people a certain amount of disquiet. Now, Channel 5 has said that in the production of this show, they've actually combined their documentary and their scripted teams together to try and make sort of a factual fiction out of this, and like, we have that kind of in some literary stories out there as well, so I guess it's a TV attempt at doing that. But I think there is a little bit of distaste that this is coming so soon.
So soon, Joe. What do you think?
It is very soon, but it's a very important story. And we've had so many examples of, you know, of cases like this in the media and also in further afield as well. I mean, we're all in the, you know, we can't get away from the Epstein files and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, you can if you go invading foreign countries and threatening to invade others.
If you do kidnap heads of state, yeah. That kind of, you know,
that sort of knocks the Epstein files off the front pages.
Or Greenland, you know, you might accidentally invade Greenland. But these are important issues, and you know, it is a distasteful, it's a disturbing story, and it's all of that kind of stuff. But if they do it well, and they seem to be taking a very good approach to this, where they are going to go factual, they are going to include the documentary team and get journalists in and work on it that way, then it could be a very interesting, valuable, you know, important docudrama.
We're going to leave it there. Oh, sorry, I didn't look at picks of the week. Very quickly, what's your pick of the week, Joe?
Agatha Christie, Seven Dials, Netflix from Thursday, 3-part series, very glossy, set in the 1930s, Agatha Christie murder mystery. Looks like perfect viewing for January. So it's Netflix from Thursday, Seven Dials.
What about you?
High Potential is back on Disney Plus. It's like 1.5 seasons through. They took a mini hiatus in the middle of season 2. It's another cozy crime drama. Not going to be as smart as the Agatha Christie or as slick as the Agatha Christie one, but it is chewing gum TV. You can switch it on, turn your brain off, and it's just challenging enough to keep you engaged.
Elaine Burke-O'Shea, thank you so much.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.